just in case there may be somebody here that don't know that I'm pastor of this church, and can I be pastor for about 20 seconds? Sunday school starts at 9:30 every Sunday morning. And if you want to be blessed of God, come to Sunday school. And I'll say this, and they may run me off before next Sunday, but to me right now where I am in my life, if you just can't come to but one service, come to Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. And I'm going to get personal right here, especially my brothers. I don't know how God affects a woman, because you know I'm not one, but I know how he affects a man. He make me want to be just like him. And it's not just in talk. It's in action. So y'all, you know, and next Sunday, I want everybody to be here next Sunday. Because next Sunday, I'm teaching Sunday school, 9:30, and I might lock the door at 9:30. I didn't say I was. I said I might. 9:30, next Sunday morning in the sanctuary, I will be teaching Sunday school. And just come. Just come. Just come. Up to Jerusalem. How can you go up to Jerusalem? Well, we usually say go up north and down south. But here, if you were certain, Jesus were to the north of Jerusalem, but he said we're going to go up to Jerusalem. Because he was speaking literally, he was going up, because Jerusalem was setting up on a hill. And in order to get there, you got to go up to Jerusalem. Y'all, I don't know how this is going to go, but I had a good time with it this week, and I pray that it will bless you as it blessed me. This week in the life of Jesus was literally the week that changed the world. In a later age and time, they would begin to call it Holy Week. They would bestow names like Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter, Passion Week, Resurrection Day. All of these names would be applied to this time in Jesus' life. But soon after it happened, the crucial character of Jesus' final visit to Jerusalem was realized. Three of the Gospels, which is called the Synoptic Gospels, basically relates about a third of their writing to this episode. But then the fourth Gospel dedicates approximately half of the writing to this time in Jesus' life. I stopped by to tell you it was an important time in the life of Jesus the Christ. And rippling across the rest of the records is a sense of inevitability about the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth was a man that was born to die. Not merely in a normal sense, but in a sense of special significance. An overtone, a musical that began in what we call the Christmas story, reoccurs throughout the 3.5 years of his public ministry. Jesus began to try to tell his disciples, I was born to die. I was born on my way to death because of why I came. He tried to give his disciples this opinion about himself, and so they could grasp it. He hinted to them about it sometime. And on other occasions, Jesus spelled it out directly. Like the time he gathered his disciples together to announce the Passover plans. And this is found in Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 33. And it says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again, telling them what's going to happen to him and them not wanting to believe it. And I had to talk to myself. I said, well, now, how would you feel if somebody telling you that they know that they were on their way to death? And they had, we've been up to Jerusalem before and we left there, and they were not loving on you then. They were hating on you. You know how it is when you have those haters around. They don't have to tell you that they're hating on you. They can just look at you. Wonder why he or she rolling her eyes at me. You can feel it because it's in your spirit. Jesus knew that's why he came. But I can tell you right now why he didn't not go. He was thinking about me. He knew that I was going to need a Savior. And he said, I got to stay my course. That's why I tell y'all sometime, if you listen to people that you don't like sometime, you can pick up something from it. Stay the course. Don't leave. Jesus stayed the course. He didn't leave. Some other times he greeted the disciples with a statement in a collective way, saying, the simple cause they were going to destroy me because they don't like what I'm saying and the way that I'm presenting myself. But he pressed his way to go up to Jerusalem. See, some things in your future, you just can't turn them around. You just got to go through them because that's what you were born to do. That's what you have to do. Yeah, you just have to do what you got to do when you set your face to go up to Jerusalem. And I'm still glad that he was thinking about me. Point number one. And don't lose me in this. Stay with me till I get to my conclusion. Don't lose me. The unteachable 12. The unteachable 12. Has anybody in here got my back? Okay. The unteachable church. Let me put it another way. The unteachable Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK. And you put your address in there. The unteachable 12. The unteachable 12. We stay here and we listen to him teach, but we miss him. Ain't lost. We miss him because, well, I don't know why y'all missed him, but I think I know why I missed him, because I really didn't want to hear what he was saying. Because of who I thought to me he was. I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want that to sink into my spirit, because that's why I was unteachable. The dozen disciples who followed Jesus from his earliest public ministry in Galilee seemed to have one thing in common despite their varied background. A reliable dullness that they hardly ever fail to misinterpret Jesus' message, and that they usually ask him naive questions at the wrong time. You ever had people ask you questions that just didn't make any sense? That just didn't fit into what you were talking about? Yeah, we do that. And I think sometimes, and I'm helping me out here, that we ask those questions because we really don't understand. What's going on? This is why, because their opinion of what he was going to do was not his. See, that's why sometimes you miss stuff, because you don't catch the dream of the dreamer. You know what you would like for the dreamer to be dreaming, but you don't catch the dream of the dreamer. You want to be the dreamer and catch it, but no, you got to catch, sometime you have to catch somebody else's dream and hold on to it. And that's what they couldn't do with Jesus. They hadn't quite got it yet. Okay, unteachable church. Well, sometimes it's just as well that things happen the way that they happen, because it helps us to get to the place where God needs for us to be. They were typical Jews. They had an opinion about how things were going to be, and they knew their history, and they knew how things were supposed to turn out. But they, like we are, they forgot something. They forgot you got to go through. Just wanna, I told y'all this last week, I think it was, I don't know why God think I got to go through everything. Since he God, he ought to just pick me up and put me on the other side of it. He be God. He can do that kind of stuff. But then if he does that for me every time, I think he's my sugar daddy. Anytime I get ready for him, all I have to do is say, come here, God. And he'll be right there. You know, we pray prayers, said, before I get through asking him. He's already answered it. Sure he have. But his timing is not my timing. Oh, you got to go through. You got to go through. But we become that unteachable church when we fail to grasp what he have for us. When we fail to see ourselves as he sees us. Where we fail to know that you got to go through this so you can have a testimony to tell people about how good I am, what I will bring you through. Oh, I didn't see my way out, but God made a way. When there seemed to have been no way, God made a way. When there was no door, God made a door. When there was no food in the pantry, God put food in the pantry. And sometimes, I keep saying this, y'all. I just believe God got a wonderful sense of humor. Well, there he or she, there they are, and they don't know how they're going to get out of it. Well, I'm going to let them, they're going to have to stay there just a little bit longer. And the reason we have to stay there a little bit longer is to build our faith. If you want to find a praying church, you let a church stay in trouble. If you want to find a praying preacher, you let a preacher stay in trouble. He'll stay on his knees. A praying deacon, he'll stay on his knees. When troubles seem to come, he'll stay on his knees. I'm glad you asked, Baggett, how do you know that? Because I've been on mine the last 6 or 7 weeks. I'm constantly on my knees. I might be driving up and down the road. Might have been riding yesterday not knowing where I was, but I was on my knees praying. Because God has a tendency to put you at places where nobody else can help you. And when you know where your help comes from, you call on your help. When you become an unteachable church, God will put you in a place where you will listen to him and you will be taught. That's why young people, that's why sometimes when you think you've gotten away with something, God will let it ride on for a while. You think you've gotten away with it, and then all of a sudden, there it is. You are in trouble and you just can't get out. Don't know where you're going to go, but you have a tendency to turn your face to the wall and do like Hezekiah did. You're unteachable, but God, you promised me. See, we have a tendency to not want God sometime to know that we know what he said in his word until I get in trouble. And when I get in trouble, I know where my help come from. Somebody said, my help comes from the Lord. I've been singing one line for the last 2 weeks. God, you've been mighty nice to me. I don't know all the song, but I know God done been good to me. Could nobody have gotten me away from where I was, but God. I was an unteachable church because I wasn't listening to his word. Don't know how, don't know why. Wasn't sinning that I knew I was sinning, but there was something I needed to go through. I didn't know why I was going through it, but I'm still trusting in God. Don't know but that one line of that song. God, you've been mighty nice to me. You've been good to me. You've been better to me than I could have been to myself. I was unteachable, but every now and then something will come along. And can I just tell you, you don't have to have sinned for God to put you in a place where you will need for him to come see about you. God will come see about you. When you become that unteachable person, I think I know why he was doing me like he was doing me. Because everything for the last 6 or 7 months I've seemed to try to do, it just went along real well. Didn't have no problems with nothing. Yes, Lord, I'm listening to you. I got beside myself. I was beginning to think that I was somebody, but God showed me that I was unteachable, that I was not doing what he would have me to do. I was not receiving it in the right way. To myself, I was exalting myself. God said, I'm first. I'm first. I'm first. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Don't lift up yourself. Yes, you look good. Look like you're doing everything right. But somewhere, that's why I keep telling you, prayer is an attitude. You got to have the right attitude. My attitude was bad. I began to think I was somebody, but then God showed me you're nothing. You're just dirt. You're what you walk around on. And don't you look at me real funny. Don't you look at me like you in heaven and I'm in hell. When you tell the truth about yourself, God will fix you so you can look at yourself and know that you're an unteachable church, because you won't do exactly what he said. Well, I'm there now, y'all. You ain't got to say amen. Don't have to clap. Don't have to do anything. Because God done showed me his word. If you do like I said, I'll make you teachable. You won't be unteachable. When you can say negative things to other people about yourself, God will get the glory because you're exalting him and not yourself. In the New Testament, these men were great men of God, but they were unteachable because they did not want to receive the word the way that Jesus said it. And you have to receive it just the way he said it. You can't change it. If you change it, it's not his. It becomes yours. So you have to take it just like it is. You got to take the castor oil straight. You can't chase it with no orange juice or root beer. You got to take it just like it is. Well, Jesus had set his face to go up to Jerusalem, and he was on his way. Well, and in going up to Jerusalem, he had to have point number two, a base at Bethany. You got to have some place to rest. You got to have a place where you can get away to yourself and just be just you and God. And that was his place, was at Bethany. They were up from Jerusalem about 80 miles up in Capernaum where his home base was, and he had to make a way down to Jerusalem, down by the Jordan Valley, through Jericho. This was the last halting spot for pilgrims that coming from the north country traveling to Jerusalem for the Great Feast Festival. It's just like in Crestview, the fourth weekend in May. Everybody make their way to Crestview for May Day.
just a feast, just a festival, just a good time to have. And they were making their way to Jerusalem. Well, Jesus had a base at Bethany, about 6 or 7, maybe 8 furlongs out of Bethany. There he was. And down through the Jericho Valley, Jesus had in the past had some famous appointments there. He had one with a tax collector called Zacchaeus. You find that in chapter 19. He was an overeager tax collector. He was a little short man that had a lot of money, and he stole from his own people. And because he was a tax collector, he was collecting what the Romans wanted, but all he added more than what they wanted went into his pocket. One day Jesus was coming through town, and Zacchaeus heard about it. He was so short he couldn't see over people, so he ran down the road and got up a tree. Now imagine this if you will. On May Day, you see Deacon Westbrook. He's an old man. And you see him running up and down the road. And then you see him, there's a sycamore tree there. You see him climb up that tree. That looks strange, wouldn't it? But see, Zacchaeus didn't care who saw him running up and down that street. He wanted to put himself in a position to see Jesus. And he put himself in a position to see Jesus. But he didn't think of one thing. Jesus wanted to see him too. I stopped by to tell somebody, you looking for Jesus? He's looking for you too. And he knows right where you are. I believe he went that way because he knew Zacchaeus was going to be up that tree. Knew he couldn't see over the crowd, but he was up that tree. And the Bible says when he got there, he stopped and looked up. Zacchaeus, come down, for I must go to your house today. Don't you think? Don't you think Jesus don't know who you are? Don't you think he doesn't know what you need? Because he does. We can't find in the Bible anywhere else where he had met Zacchaeus. But he looked up the tree and he saw him up the tree. And he came down in a hurry. I don't know whether this is true or not, but some people say that before that time, the sycamore tree bark stayed on the tree. They said, but Zacchaeus came down it so fast that that's why the bark fall off the side of it now. Because he was trying to get to where Jesus had told him to go. Trying. That's where some of us fail. We become those unteachable people when we will not do what thus saith the Lord. And there was another time he was on his way, and there was a blind man standing side the road, hollering and wanting, needing to be saved. And Jesus, he needed his eyes open so he could see. And when Jesus takes and removes something from you, he takes your sin away with it. Because that's why it's there, so you'll need Jesus. See, we need Jesus in our life. Some of us think we're all right. You're fooling yourself. You still need Jesus. I don't care how long you've been in the church. How long you been on the deacon board singing in the choir? I don't care. You still need Jesus. The only time you stop needing Jesus is when you stop breathing. And then it's too late if you need him. So the week that altered all of history had an ordinary beginning. And it was just typical as other days in Jesus' career. Jericho laid 825 feet below sea level near the Dead Sea, while Jerusalem was perched upon a hilly backbone of Palestine, some 25,000 feet above sea level. That's why there was a need to go up to Jerusalem. Going up to Jerusalem is quite literally and it's quite true. The final leg of the journey was a dusty track on a twisted road. Its way upward through the barren hills and ravine in the Judean badland surrounded the holy city. Usually the road was desolate. There was not a whole lot of travelers. But this day, because of who's walking on the road, it was crowded. And people were on the road trying to make their way to Jerusalem so they could celebrate the Passover. Someone said that they were walking up the road singing the Psalms of Ascent or the Psalms of Degree, which is Psalms 120 through 134. They were singing those as they trudged upward towards Jerusalem behind the snorting and the smelly beast of burdens. Some people were blessed enough to have a donkey riding them on the road, but Jesus was walking along the road. And I just like to think about walking with Jesus, because I could talk to him and I could listen to him. And Jesus and his disciples was aiming for the eastern suburb of Jerusalem, a little town called Bethany, which would serve as his lodging place and a place to get some rest and get away from everybody so he could relax before going in to do what he needed to do. He was looking for a house, going to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, going to their house so he could rest and have some time to them and talk to them about their life. Jesus had already raised Lazarus from the dead. And he was there. And people were wanting to see the man that had been dead and was yet alive. They wanted to see that man. Oh, I can't get in front of myself, but it's hard not to right here. But I wonder how many of them wanted to see Jesus after his death, burial, and resurrection. But they wanted to see Jesus went there with Lazarus, and they had a banquet at Bethany. You do know anywhere Jesus goes, that's a banquet. It's a feast. It's a festival because of who he is and who he represents. He represents God, Lord God Almighty. And for him to come there, oh, what a time it would be. And he was there with them after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus needed a place where he could get isolated and get some rest and recoup. We need that place. After we have done things for God, you need to find a time of rest. You know, after 6 days, God in creation rested, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. He was putting something in place for us to let us know that you can't work yourself all the time. You can work yourself to death. You need to rest sometime. I know you think you got to pay all these bills and you got to have 4 or 5 jobs, but you do need some rest. I don't mean sleep. There's a difference between sleep and rest. You can rest and not sleep, and you can sleep and not rest. Yeah, Somebody think the only time you can rest is sleep. No, you can rest. And when you rest with God, he brings a peace. And it doesn't take 8 hours of rest when you're resting with God. You can just get 3 or 4, 5 or 6, sometimes 1, sometimes 2. But when you rest with him, it's greater. It's greater when you rest with him. Point number 3. The royal reception. They didn't do things on what we call Saturday, because that was the Jewish Sabbath. Sunday was called the first day of the week. The Jews in biblical time didn't have names for days. They had numbers. Sunday was the first day of the week. Saturday was the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day. Early on the first day of the week, Jesus made an entrance into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And in doing this, he was giving up something. It was the end of all privacy. It was the end of all safety. And it was the beginning of what would be an inevitable collision course with the priestly and the political authorities of the land. See, sometimes you can hide
who you are and what you are for a long time. And God will allow you to hide yourself. But there will come a time when you have to come out of hiding. Everybody will begin to know who you are and what you stand for. This is what Jesus was doing in this time when he rode in on the donkey. Well, let me help you get to the royal reception. He had sent two disciples to a place that go over to the city against you. That's in the town, not where you are, but in the town over on the other side of where you are. He said, go over there where two streets meet, and you will find a donkey tied, get him, and bring him to me. I said, well, if somebody say anything to you, just tell them the Lord have need of him, and everything will be all right. They went to do just what God, Jesus told them to do. And they found him, and the man said something to him, and they told him what Jesus had said, and the Bible doesn't record anything else to say about it. I just believe that he sent him on to him. There are people that are willing to obey God that you might not know anything about. If you just trust in the Lord and lean and depend on him, they went and got the donkey, and they brought him back to Jesus, and Jesus got on the donkey. Someone said the donkey had never been ridden before, and if you've never tried to ride a donkey, you don't know what you're doing. You better get some help from somebody, because donkeys are not to be ridden. They wouldn't let Jesus sit on the donkey. They put the coats and everything on the donkey for Jesus to sit on to make a cushion on him. And he could sit on him and then ride him. But I stop by to tell you that the donkey in the beginning, he told him, you'll find him, he tied up. There's something that's got him tied up, and he can't get away. Most of us are tied up with something. Something got us tied up, and what got most of us tied up is a three-letter word called sin. They found the donkey tied up, and they had to loose him. How could you loose him? You go there, and the man owned the donkey is sitting on the porch, and you go there to get his donkey, and he got him tied right where he needs for him to be. If it's my donkey and it's tied, and you come there to get him out, you're going to have to answer to me, because I'm going to say something to you when you come to get my donkey. It's just like I drive an old 1986 blue and white Silverado. You come, it's I parked in front of my house, and I'm sitting out there on the porch. You come there, unlock the door, take your key and put it in the ignition, start cranking my truck up to drive it off, and I'm sitting there looking at you. I got to say something to you, because I think it's mine. I think I own it, and I think it's mine. But when he saw him getting there, driving it off, getting ready to drive it off, I said, who told you to get my truck? He said, the Lord have need of it. And just the idea that I'm a child of God, and he tells me that the Lord have need of it, what can I do? It's not mine. It all belongs to him. Good God Almighty, you got to leave your flesh now. You got to get in the spirit, because he said the world is his, and they that dwell therein. Listen to me. I used to tell people, come over to my mama's house. I call her my mama, and I said, come to my mama's house, and we'll do this and we'll do that. But then God came one day, and he took my mama away, and then I questioned him about my mama. He said, was she really yours, or was she mine? I said, well, God, I said, she was, no. He said, she wasn't yours. I just loaned her to you for a little while. Said, everything is mine and belonged to me. So therefore, that donkey that was tied there was not the owner. He belonged to God, and God just loaned him to him for just a little while. That blue and white Silverado truck that I love, it's not mine. It belonged to God. He can come get it anytime he get ready, but you got to be willing to give it up to him. He won't take it. I do believe if the owner would have come out there and said, I'm not going to let him go, with me in my mind, the way I see God, the donkey would have spoke to him and said, I got to go, because my master done called me. When God call you, you just got to go. That's why, brothers and
and sisters, I'm glad that when God called me, I heard him when he called me. Some people think I shouldn't have heard him, but I know I should have, because I heard him when he called my name. You're going to hear him when he called your name. You might not want to hear him, but you're going to hear him. Some of us, he called our name, and we just kept right on doing what we were doing, like we didn't hear him. But he called you just one more time. Vegan Jones said, you don't want God to holler at you. You want him to call you real soft like. Said, because if he have to raise his voice at you, something's wrong when he calls you. And you need to have your antennas tuned to God so you can hear him and have a royal reception. I know I took the long way home to get you to the reception, but I had to take you there. In the reception, Jesus riding the donkey, coming into town, and everybody hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And somebody said, the disciples said, make them hush, make them be quiet. And he said, if these would hold their peace, the rocks would cry. And somebody said, I don't want a rock crying out for me, so I'm going to call him, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord God Almighty. See, when the royal reception come, Jesus riding in on the donkey. See, they knew their Bible. They knew their prophecy. They knew their history. The Zechariah 9:9 said he shall come in riding on a donkey, a beast of burden. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me, why was he riding on a donkey and not a horse? Because when you ride in on a white stallion, that means you have conquered somebody. Jesus rode in on a beast of burden because he came in peace. Hadn't hurt nobody, but he came in peace. When you come in peace, you having a royal reception. Might not want to receive you, but you come in peace. He's riding in on a donkey, just sitting up there, letting everybody else do it. He's just riding in, and they trying to make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he knew the reception had to come. He did it just the opposite of the way we do things. We have the party and then have the reception. Jesus had the reception and then he's going to have the party. The party's going to be a week later when they're crucified, but he had the reception before. You see, when you have the reception, this means the party is a done deal. You see, he was there. He knew that he was having the reception because he knew the party was going to come. He set his face to go up to Jerusalem. You got to make up your mind. That's why some of us are not sold out to God. We haven't made up our mind. We want to partially commit to God. No. You got to come to God hook, line, and sinker. That's everything you got. It's getting springtime, so some of y'all that haven't fished, y'all might all go fishing. And when you fish, if you're fishing for brim and you got a cricket, that brim a nibble on that cricket, especially if you don't break the legs off of it. See, if you break the legs, if you leave the legs on a cricket, you got four legs, they'll be out there flipping around, and the fish can bite the legs before you get on the cricket. Yeah, uh-huh. So he'll be nibbling on it. That's the way some of us do Jesus. We nibble on him. No, you got to be like a goggle eye. Anybody know what a goggle eye? It's a small mouth bass, but it's in the brim family in freshwater. When you put that earthworm in there, and that goggle eye bite, no. If you miss him the first time, drop it back over there. He'll bite it again. Drop it right back in there. Don't wait if you miss him. Drop it right back. He'll take it again. Because he's aggressive. He wants it. Hook, line, and sinker. That's the way God wants you to be. You need to be a goggle eye. I know you don't fish. You don't know what I'm talking about. But if you fish, when that goggle eye bite, you don't. And non-fishermen, if they fish with goggle eye, they can catch them. Because they ain't got no sense. They go hook, line, and sinker. Whatever comes in that area where they are, they bite it. They bite it. That's the way Christians need to be about Jesus. You need to go for him whole hog. Jesus came in there for the royal reception, and he was going through something, but he set his face to Jerusalem. I'm going up to Jerusalem. He had to go up to Jerusalem before he could really get it, so I could make it in. Because if he never would have gone to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, and faced it. See, some of us, y'all know the story of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, don't you? They were closet Christians. You can't be a closet Christian. You got to come out the closet. Everybody else done come out. Everybody else out the closet. Christians still in the closet. You got to come out. You got to come out the closet. Everybody else out. Christians in. You got to come out. So everybody will know who you are and what you stand for. You got to come out of the closet. There are closet Christians. Come out. Don't want people to know how much you love God. It might affect my job. Who gave you the job? That's why God put you there. So he'd have a witness there. And you can tell them about him. But after you have the royal reception, when you have the reception before the party, you got to go to the party. And that's the next story. That's next week. So y'all have to come back next week to hear the story at the party. But let me tell you this story. And I'm through as soon as I finish this right here. There was a little girl in the second or third grade. And she went to school that morning. And she didn't take her raincoat or her galoshes. And it was this time of the year. And she was in Florida like it was yesterday. And so about 2:30 in the afternoon, Mama goes to pick her up. And it's raining. It's raining hard. And Mama usually is in the front of the line, but today she's way in the back. So the bell rings. Everybody come out. She can't get up to the door. The little girl comes out the door, and it's thundering and lightning and raining. And the Mama, sitting way down in the line, she blows the horn. Bum, 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 and sees her daughter, and her daughter looks up and sees her. Time out. Time out. Can y'all remember where we are? Okay. How many of y'all, when y'all driving in town, and you hear a horn blow, and you wave, all the other people that's out there in that traffic, whoever's blowing, just blowing at you. Do anybody else do that other than me? If I'm part of letting somebody blow, I blow back. I think everybody that blow a horn is blowing at me. Nobody else like that in here? Okay, so I'm weird. Okay. I happen to think about that, y'all. Okay, let's pick it up. Okay. So a mama blows a horn and she sees a mama. Then she come out from under the ramp and it's thundering and lightning and raining. She's walking on in the rain. And a clap of thunder and lightning comes. She just looks up like that. And then it stops. Then she starts walking. And a clap of thunder and lightning come again. She goes. Mama said, "What in the world is wrong with that crazy young?" See, every time it lightning, she's smiling, looking up at the lightning. Said, "She better come on here. It's raining, and I'm waiting on her." She's walking a little bit farther. It did it again. She, Mama said, "When she get here, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to give her the whipping of her life when she gets here." So she just kept doing it. Every time it thunder and lightning, she goes, "I'm going to kill that young one." So she finally gets to the car. Mama hands her a towel. And said, "Dry yourself off, because I got some questions to ask you, and if I don't get the right answer, I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life." She said, Every time it thundered and lightning, said, why would you be doing like that? And looking up at the sky. She said, I was getting my picture taken. She said, okay. She said, question number two. So who was taking your picture? She said, Jesus. She said, okay. She said, this is the last question. Saying, if I don't get the right answer, said, you're going to get a whooping. She said, why was Jesus taking your picture? She said, oh, mama. So he wanted to see what I looked like when I was going through a storm. I know you might miss that, but Jesus want to see what you look like when you're going through a storm. Some of us, when we're going through stuff, we look so pitiful and so bad, like nobody loves us, but Jesus want to see what you look like when you're going through a storm. See what he really wants to know is, when you're going through a storm, do you have me with you? And see, that's why sometimes when some people are going through stuff, you see them smiling all the time. They got Jesus. They know Jesus is watching them to see what they look like. He needs to know that you know that you need him when you're in a storm. And if you take him with you in the storm, when it's fair weather, he'll be there. He will be there. But you got to take him with you. Everybody in their lives got a, whether you want to admit it or not, a time when you need to go up to Jerusalem. You need to come out of the closet. If the people you associate with all the time don't know that you are a believer, you need to go up to Jerusalem. Up to Jerusalem is letting them know where you stand with God. And you need to stop being the unteachable church. And when you stop being the unteachable church, God will find a place for you to have a base where you can get some rest. And he'll give you the reception before the party. Will you stand? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ just as you are. It's time for believers to come out of the closet. Too many of us are hiding behind something other than Jesus Christ. Will you come to Christ just as you are? Don't worry about nothing or nobody else. Only see Christ. When you see Christ, he'll hide everything else from you. But you need to see Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you come to Christ just as you are? Come and have the reception before the party. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.